Dear Lord, we're just here just to worship you this morning, God, and you are our living hope. And God, we thank you for Jesus and all that we have in him. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Joe as he comes and shares his heart now, Lord, the words that you've given him. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Thank y'all for the music. It was great. I didn't know the song Jesus You Are, but that's a good one. I appreciate y'all leading us in music this morning, and even with a broken rib. So there was a young guy that was beginning the ministry, and he was seeking some advice from an older pastor, and he said, you know, when I get started, it's like I don't get everyone's attention at first. And he said, I don't start off real good. And he said, what do you do to kind of get things going? And the older pastor said, well, I start off with something to kind of grab their attention, to make them think and disarm them. And he said, like last Sunday, I started off with some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And the guy was like, what? And he said, and that woman was my mother. And he said, and the congregation laughed and I had their attention. And that young guy said, well, I'm going to do that this Sunday. That's a good one. And so he got up on the platform, and he looked out, and he said, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And the congregation looked at him, and he kind of got wide-eyed and started to sweat a little bit, and then he said it again, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And he looked out at the congregation, and they're all staring at him, and he's really sweating. And then he said, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name. This morning, we'll be looking at John chapter 4. And we'll cover from verse 1 to 42. Jesus has got a lot going on, as he always does. We'll start off in verse 1 there. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 2, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left and departed again to Galilee. Galilee is in the north, and he's down in Judea in the south. Well, there's a tract of land across there that any good Jew avoided. And it's called Samaria. It said in verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. The good Jews didn't need to go through Samaria. They avoided it at all costs because it was kind of the less desirable people lived there. They were people that the Assyrians had moved in there. When the Assyrians began to conquer the area, what they would do is they would take the people that were of that land, and they would move them somewhere else, and then they would move other people into that land, and it kind of made people say, well, you know, this isn't my land. Whereas if they left them there, they'd say, well, this was my granddaddy's property. It was my daddy's property. We're going to start a revolution, and we're going to take over, and we're going to drive them out. But if you move them into somewhere they're not used to, somewhere that they don't really consider their land, and you make them work, then they're less likely to create problems for you. So that's what the Assyrians had done 700 years before. They had moved a bunch of foreigners into this land, and it was kind of a swath right between the Mediterranean Sea and the River Jordan, and it split that land which God had promised the children of Israel. It kind of split it in half. And so these people that lived there were people that were foreigners that kind of followed Judaism a little bit, but they only had the first five books of the Bible, and they kind of mixed stuff together. And so the Jews just said, you know what, we don't even want to deal with them. They're not like us. And so when instead of going from, say, Jerusalem to Galilee, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the south, but grew up in Nazareth, which is in the north, in the Galilean area. Those people, when they would travel to go down to Jerusalem, they would go out to the east. They'd cross the Jordan River. They'd travel along the Jordan River, and then they would cross back over the Jordan just to avoid these people. They were considered the lowlifes. And so Jesus said that he had to go through Samaria. He said he needed to go through Samaria. Your version may say it was necessary for him to go through Jerusalem, or he had to go through Jerusalem. He had a divine appointment. And so it says, so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So counting in their time, sun up was started the first hour, and so it was 6 hours from sun up. So about middle of the day, it was hot. And Jesus was tired. He sat by the well. It was a big well. From what I've read, it was about 100 feet deep, and it was about a 9-foot in diameter hole, and it always had water. And so Jesus sits down, it says in verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it, I think I skipped a little bit. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, in verse 7. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And so probably really kind of dumbfounded her that here Jesus is, one, that he's in Samaria, two, that he even spoke to her, said anything to her, because most Jews would not even speak to Samaritans. And not only did he speak to her, he asked her for a drink of water. And she was a woman. So she was there at an odd time. Generally, the women would come early in the morning when it was cool, or late in the evening after things cooled off. Here she is in the middle of the day. So this has really struck her as odd. Why would this Jew say anything to me? Most Jews would rather die of thirst than ask anything of a Samaritan. And for him to talk to me, a woman. And so, it's got her wondering, what in the world? This guy is a lot different than any Jew I've ever met or seen. And so, in verse 10 it says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And so, she is on the physical level. Well, Jesus needs something to drink. As I thought about that, I got thirsty last night. I keep a thing of water by my bed. I brought some water up here. I hate it when I'm preaching and all of a sudden I run out of moisture and my tongue starts to stick and I can't get words out and I get a little raspy. So I always try to keep a little water with me. Jesus needed some water. He was fully human. He was fully God. He had thirst and hurts and pains. He knew knows what it's like to be just like we are. To have things that happen that hurt you physically, that cause you physical distress, that hurt you emotionally when a friend betrays you. Jesus knew what it was like. He knows what it's like to be in our shoes and to be hurting. He knew what pain felt like more than any of us have ever known what pain feels like. He was willing to suffer for you and me. And so Jesus begins to turn from the physical side to the spiritual side. He knew that this lady needed spiritual healing. And she was kind of focused on the physical side. And in verse 11 it says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? So she's interested in this living water. And she doesn't want to keep having to come to the well. Verse 12 says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said well. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. So Jesus says, you know what? You need more than just some physical water. You need more than things that are taking care of your physical needs. You need a spiritual change. And Jesus begins to look at her life. Jesus knows her. Jesus had a divine appointment. I believe that Jesus has divine appointments with each and every one of us. Jesus had a divine appointment with me. And as I thought about her, she's there in the middle of the day because she doesn't want to see other people. She's isolating herself. She She's the, if these people are the lowlifes, she's the lowest of the lowlifes. She doesn't want to see anyone. She's avoiding everyone. And she feels isolated and alone. I shared with y'all how I, when I was a child, always been in church, walked the aisle when some of the other kids were walking the aisle, was baptized, but I didn't really become a Christian. But you know, during that period of time, over those number of years, until I was an older teenager, I knew what I'd done wasn't right. I knew I had not gotten a relationship with Jesus Christ. I knew I'd never asked for forgiveness of sins. I knew those things. And you know, it really didn't bother me. I just went through life. I was looking for fun and having a good time. But at times, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I would feel so alone. And as I got to be a teenager, it got to be, those times got to be worse and worse. I'd wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, thinking I had gone to hell. And hell to me was being totally separated from God. To be, the way I would describe it, the way I felt was if I was in outer space, in a space capsule, with no communication with anybody, anything, couldn't reach God, couldn't have any interaction with anybody that I knew, and I felt like all of my family was going to be in heaven, and I wasn't. And that, I would wake up. Ever so often, I'd just wake up at night, and I'd be in a cold sweat, and I was thinking, and I would think, well, you know, I really ought to make a decision for Christ. People already think I'm a Christian, so I don't want to do it. And it was pride. And until I had that wreck, and my dad looked at the car and said, "It's a wonder we aren't pulling your body out of that car." That's when it hit me, and he said, "You know, we can get another car. We can't get another Joey." And that hit struck me. God, my dad still loves me, even though I messed up. God loves me. He showed me Christ through His love and His attitude and His desire for me. And that night that I had the wreck, I prayed to receive Christ. And I never had that, I've never woke up in a cold sweat thinking, I'm isolated. I prayed to receive Christ, and He's always been with me. He forgave me of my sins. I was baptized, and when I walked the aisle the next time, I was almost running. I was ready to tell everybody, Jesus has changed me. And so, this woman is searching. She's been searching throughout her life, and she hasn't been founding. Well, today Jesus comes, and this day Jesus comes and He's found her. The woman said in verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Jesus said, I am the one. Jesus had an appointment with her. I believe Jesus is looking for people that are searching. They may be searching for him, but he's seeking them out. He was seeking for that woman. He was willing to go to places that others wouldn't go to find her. Because he cares about each and every one of us and wants a relationship that is more than just what we see on this earth, one that lasts for eternity. Jesus wants to change our destiny forever. And as I was thinking about divine appointments, I'd gotten a haircut, or was getting a haircut, and this guy walked in. Anyway, I brought back memories from when I first started pastoring over in Madison County back in 2001. Now, when I'd first gone to the church, there was a lady that would sit, and she would sit on the second pew, right close to the end of the pew, and she was about 80-something, and after the close of the worship service, I walked to the back, was greeting everybody as they left out, and the lady said, Brother Joe, would you go and visit my grandson and talk to him about coming to church? I wish he would come to church. He and his wife and three little girls. She said, he doesn't go to church anywhere. And I said, Miss Audrey, give me his address and I'll go see him this week. And we were standing right on the front porch of the church, and she said, he lives right there. And I said, I'll go see him this week. And she said, well, he's building a house. He's going to be moving. And so she said, but right now he's there. And so I went to the house, and they were moving. It was Saturday, and they were loading up a trailer of furniture and stuff, and I helped load stuff, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, hey, your grandmother said that y'all don't have a church home. I just came as pastor and would love for you and your family to come. He said, I'll be there in the morning. Well, he and his family were sitting on the second pew right next to Miss Audrey, and she was beaming. And so then next time we had worship, he was there. And we were running low on Sunday school space and didn't have a good fellowship hall. I had called Dr. Eddie Hamilton over at the Metro Baptist Association. I said, we're out of space. Can we, y'all have these mobile chapels that y'all move around when y'all are starting a new church plant. Do y'all have one of those that maybe we could use till we got some space? And he said, it's funny that you asked that. Temple Baptist Church moved down to Byram from Jackson. He said, then they're now Oak Ridge Baptist Church. And he said, they keep calling up me, asking me if we'll move that chapel out of their parking lot because their building's built. And he said, if you'll pay half the cost of moving it, we'll pay the other half, and y'all can move it into y'all's parking lot, and y'all can have some space immediately. So we had gotten that done. And so Jay was coming. It was him that I ran in yesterday, and I said, do you mind if I share about sharing the gospel with you? And he said, I wish I could be there. I'm flying out. He and his family were flying out this morning at 5:30. But anyway, he had been driving a Carrier air conditioning truck, and I said, could you get that air conditioning going in that building that we looked at? And he said, yeah, I can get that going. But he said, I'm going to need some parts. he said, I'm going to have to go to my shop and get them. And I said, well, can I ride with you? And he said, sure, jump in. So jumped in the van, and I was riding with him. And I said, Jay, I said, and what's your understanding it takes for a person to go to heaven? And he said, well, he said, maybe it takes going to church. I've been to church more in the last month than I ever been in my life. He said, I don't know if that's it or not. And he said, maybe it takes reading the Bible. He said, I never really read the Bible much. He said, maybe it takes being baptized. I had never been baptized. He said, or being a good person. He said, I don't know that I'm a good person. He said, I really don't know. I wish somebody would tell me. And I shared with him my testimony. And I shared with him how Jesus had died on the cross for our sins. And that we need forgiveness of our sins. We need to ask Jesus into our heart, repent of those sins, ask for forgiveness, and ask him to be Lord of our lives. And Jay said, that's what I want. I said, you want to pray right here in this van? So, sitting in the church parking lot, we prayed. He received Christ. And I got the opportunity to baptize him, his wife, his oldest daughter, later on his next daughter. And then he told me yesterday that his youngest daughter was baptized. And, you know, I believe it was just a divine appointment. Jesus has divine appointments. Jesus had to go through Samaria to meet this woman. She was in need. And he was the need that would fulfill her life. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And Jesus wants to be a part of our lives. She knew something was different about Jesus. In verse 27, at this point, his disciples came. And they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice for together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. This Samaritan woman that's come to the well in the middle of the day, that's come when nobody else will come because it's so hot, and she's just coming out of necessity. She really doesn't want to go, but she comes because got to have water. She's carrying this water pot that's probably a valuable, that is really valuable because it's what she uses to get water to her household, and she forgets about it. She's not so much concerned about physical things anymore. She's concerned about spiritual things, and she's concerned about others. She wants them to have what she's has gotten from Jesus. He's given her living water. She knows that she's been changed, and she wants others to experience what she's experienced. That's all we're supposed to do. We're to be witnesses. What does a witness do? A witness gives testimony. A witness tells what Jesus has done in their life so that others can experience it. Jesus had changed that woman, and she had gone from being isolated and avoiding everybody to going and getting everybody she could so that she could share Jesus with them. God changes us. God desires for us to not live according to this world, but to be transformed. It says in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So Jesus is changing lives. And when Jesus changes your life, you want others to experience it. To have the joy, the hope, the peace that you can have because I've got it, now I want you to have it. When Jesus changes us, when Jesus comes into our heart, we recognize that others need it. Jesus caused that woman to change her whole perspective. She went from just being concerned about physical needs to having her spiritual need met, and then going out and saying, he can meet your spiritual need too. You know, there were a lot of people that impacted me. I can remember the first pastor that I remember as a child. I was about 2 years old when we moved to Star, and he would come into the nursery and he would play with us before he preached. His name was Brother Vance Dice, and he was, as a child, he was my favorite pastor. He left when I was about 4, but I always remembered him, and he eventually came back, and he had multiple sclerosis. He was in a wheelchair, and I got to spend a lot of time with him, and he impacted my life. Brother Jimmy Harrington impacted my life, and he told about how God had impacted him. Brother Charlie Jones impacted my life. He later became chaplain at Parchman Penitentiary. But he impacted my life. Each one of those men impacted my life. But Jesus changed me. They gave testimony. Their testimony affected me. But then I got a relationship with Jesus. And that's what this crowd was saying. You know, we heard what you said, but then we met Jesus. It takes that personal relationship. That's what changes us. Maybe this morning, God has been working on you for years. Maybe you've just been kind of going through the motions. Maybe you've been more interested in the physical things of this life. Well, I got to make a living. I've got to get this done. Maybe you haven't been looking at the spiritual things, just like this woman was only looking at the physical side of life. But Jesus wants to offer us more. He wants to offer us life eternal. God has spoken to your heart this morning. Perhaps you've never made that commitment. Or perhaps you need to kind of renew. Head back in the right direction. Pray that you do so as we sing the hymn of invitation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Father, we thank you for divine appointments. Father, I thank you that you made a divine appointment with me. And Father, I pray that if there's one that has never accepted your gift of eternal life, of living water, that they would do so this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you would, let's stand for a hymn of invitation.
Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen.
Thank y'all for coming today. Brother Joe, thanks for that assurance of what we need to look for. Tonight there'll be small group. Mike has got it going 1 minute after you die. Isn't that the name of it? Okay. That's it. That's at 5 o'clock. Remember Brother Ron and our love offering. And the end of the month, on the 29th, we're going to have potluck supper for the church after the service and an Easter egg hunt for the kids. Just remember all that that's coming up.
All right. Senior adults will be meeting Thursday. Joy. Sorry about that. It's not senior adults. We messed that up. That's all right. Oh, hadn't it been good to be in God's house today? I know last Sunday I was feeling rough too, and I don't even feel like I was here. I felt like I was somewhere else. I was struggling. It's been a rough couple of weeks, but I'm so glad to be here with everybody this morning and being able to worship with y'all. It's just done my heart a lot of good, and I hope it has yours too. So let's just remember today, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Y'all have a blessed week.